Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarikaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 66. At night, no one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Therefore, the word Aravindaksha is significant. One who is not captivated by the lotus eyes, the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, is in darkness, exactly like one who cannot see a lotus. One who has not come to the point of seeing the lotus eyes and transcendental form of Shyamasundara is a failure. Yeah, so, in other words, you follow any religious process, it doesn't matter what it is, that if it doesn't bring you to the point of seeing the Lord, right, being interested in, like here, one is not captivated by the lotus eyes or transcendental form of the Supreme Lord is in darkness, right? That's what causes us not to be attracted. And the Lord's beauty and all that, that's what causes us to be attracted. Right, so the religious process we follow should end in that. Right? If it doesn't, then what's the whole point? We'll fall down from that position. Right? You see his great personalities. They gain so much knowledge, so much austerity, so much sacrifice, but then we see all kinds of crazy stuff happens. Indra's always in trouble. Right? So that's the whole point, is they can fall down from that exalted material position. Because religion is the material thing, right? Now, you're engaging those things in the Lord's service, that's what makes it transcendental, right? Like anything else. Because it's not that the religion doesn't originate in the transcendental realm, but so does everything. So does all the concepts of relationships and forms and activities. It all originates there. So here, then if we simply use it not connected to Krishna, then it's material. We use it connected with Krishna, then it's spiritual, it's devotion. Does that make sense? So it becomes spiritualized. Yes? Does that make sense? Yes.
Sometimes we say that Mayavadis, they think liberation, material liberation. Sometimes we say they attain moksha. Sometimes we say they attain Brahma Buddha.
Not so much the way you say Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta is generally used more for the devotees. And for the others, it's moksha.
Would it be still a material concept according to what we just discussed?
Is it in connection to Krishna or not? Brahma Bhuta, it means it's connected to Krishna, and moksha means it's not.
So it's material, it's not transcendental?
The whole point is it connected to Krishna or not?
No.
The point is like this. Let's say I have a kilo of potatoes. Are they spiritual or material? You understand? Are they, you're going to use them for cooking for Krishna? Then we'll consider them as spiritual. They're not, then they're material. So that's the whole point, is that the position of liberation, is it in connection with Krishna? Then it's spiritual. Like the four kinds of liberation that they have in Vaikuntha, that's spiritual because it's in connection with Krishna. They may have gained that position through knowledge, right? And so therefore there's that attachment to that aspect, because majesty means then you have knowledge. You know he's God, you know, like this. So it has that, so it matches nicely. So But it's always seen in connection with Krishna. Therefore, in Vaikuntha, those four kinds of liberation aren't actually a problem with majesty. But when we're talking about sweetness, then it's a problem because it's not about knowledge. It's about just appreciating that taste, that niceness in Krishna's relationship. Right? So that's why then those points of liberation aren't accepted, because those are gained because of they're gained because of the knowledge being engaged in bhakti, not it means knowledge along with bhakti. It's not that it's itself means how you say. They're comfortable to maintain that as a goal, as opposed to we who are not comfortable to maintain as a goal. Because then we're doing the activity for something, but it's connected to Krishna. So it's spiritual. So we're making a distinction. You could, in this way, make a distinction between devotion and practice, right? And then pure devotion and pure unalloyed devotion. Right? So Vaikuntha will be pure devotion. Braj will be pure unalloyed devotion, because those aspects of jnana and karma aren't there. Does that make sense? Even though they're connected to the Lord. So the Varnashram is a very important part of Vaikuntha Wallas. So they have the proper understanding. They follow Varnashram in connection with the Lord. So therefore, those aspects of karma and jnana are very much part of their process. But it's spiritual because it's all connected to the Lord. But for us, we even go beyond that. So it's not that. It's not that we're not using. They don't know. As you hear when the gopis or Mother Yashoda, anyone talks, the philosophy they know is very, very elevated. But it's not. That's not the impetus for doing devotional service. You know, it's not because of the greatness of God that's why they're inspired. Is that what I'm saying? It's just the relationship itself. Right? So God's great, I have a relationship, I serve Him. So there's a relationship. But here it's the relationship's what's important. You know, whether He's God or not, that's His own business. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, you could say in one sense it's the fullest manifestation, because therefore you have Radharani, which is the fullest manifestation of the fulfillment, because only she can fully fulfill all of Krishna's desires, right? While Lakshmi, she can't fulfill all of Krishna's desires, but she can fulfill all of Vishnu's desires, because she is the counterpart to Vishnu. So in that way, for what's there, you can say it's complete, it's perfect. But then there's more perfect and most perfect. So there's not anything less, right? It's just that we're trying to discern so that we can appreciate Braja Bhakti. You know, so when we say pure devotion, we mean that. But if we're distinguishing, then there's pure unalloyed devotion. Because pure devotion can include, you know, the aspects of liberation. While pure unalloyed then doesn't include. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. So we're saying here is that it's not a, you know, not a waste of time. It's just a failure. You haven't come to that position, then it's not. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that one may ask, why do the jnanis get criticized so heavily? Bharata, Indradumna, and Chitraketu, the chief devotees, do not get criticism even though they fell. This next verse answers the question, right? So we're talking about the falling position of these jnanis, or, you know, great practitioners of the Vedic processes, right? The great knowledge, great renunciation, their perfection of duties, all these different things, doing so well. And why do we criticize them if they don't come to this position? They're a failure. But we see is here, Bharat Maharaj, Indradumna, and Chitraketu, they all fell from their position. They're not criticized. Right? In other words, Bharat Maharaj is a major story. All of them are major stories in the Bhagavatam, in the Vedic literature. So then the question comes, is, well, okay, you're criticizing this guy, why not those? At least this guy did his duties nicely, you know, like that, you know, and okay, he fell down. These guys fell down and didn't do their duties nicely, you know, so that's where the doubt comes up. Because why, as we discussed before, because we're thinking it's the knowledge and activities, the results gained there, that's actually the essential point, rather than Krishna's pleasure is the essential point. That's the difference. Right? The arrangements that the cowherd boys make for Krishna, how sophisticated is it going to be? Right? It's going to be pretty simple. Getting some leaves and this and that, making place to sit. Now, let's say the gopis are arranging, you know, a place with leaves and stuff. How is that going to be? Right? That's going to be very, very sophisticated. Okay? So for Krishna, it's not this, it's not the technique and the sophistication. It's the devotion in which it's offered. So those are mediums through which it's done. Now that matches the cowherd boys, and the other matches the gopis. Does that make sense? Is that, yeah? The demigods continued, O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Footnote 24. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 33 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. And now the question.
Why favorable?
Oh, I see. Because okay, so let us.
The first part is unfavorable. The second part is favorable.
Okay, but okay, but so now, as we discussed before, is bhakti the situation or the activity, the mentality within the situation?
Both.
You don't want to lose, do you? Okay. No, but you catch the point?
Yeah,
that's the whole point, is even in this position where something's going wrong, they still take full shelter of the Lord and are dependent on the Lord. Therefore, it's successful. While for the jnanis and karmis, they think it's because of their knowledge and their endeavor, that's why they're successful. That's why when they fall down, there's nothing glorious. Does that make sense? That's the point, is we're trying to get to this mentality. It's that same mentality. We've come across it before, is that in situations that aren't nice, then the devotee is unaffected. Right? Because we're taking it by the situation as the important. No, it's the mentality that's important. It's Krishna consciousness. It's not international society for fabulously arranged, you know, Vedic, you know, kind of scenes. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, because otherwise, yeah.
I was thinking that it's very difficult to understand the verse in a nice chapter of Bhagavad Gita, because it's most confidential knowledge. It's the same point. But why Krishna put it in there? Because it's difficult to
No, but at some point we have to deal with it, because it's not about easy. It means Krishna consciousness is easy. What makes it difficult? Right? We make it difficult. You know, it's just like what we were saying before. The example before is sitting down and doing your homework difficult? No, you just sit down and start looking and writing and stuff like that. But do we make it easy? No. You know, it's like putting the cat out, right? It's an easy concept, you know, cat, this side of the door, cat, that side of the door. But somehow the cat doesn't make it easy, you know, or probably a better example would be cat in a bath. You know, it's just, it doesn't work. Dogs, you know, they just kind of sit there and whimper a bit, but they'd sit there. But cats, you know, they've got a million ways to not end up in the bathtub. Right? So that's the point, is we complicate it. So at some point we have to give up that it's our idea. Okay, I'm doing all nonsense, and so I have to give up this nonsense, do what's recommended by, you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, be a good person, do all the right things at the right time, you know, be upstanding. You know, then naturally I also get good results, but, you know, that's not my main focus. You know, we're doing it to please Krishna, but it's because I'm doing everything nice. That's devotional service.
You understand?
So at some point we have to shift and understand, no, it's the devotional attitude. Now one can say, oh, but if it's just a devotional attitude, you could do anything. Yes, but the point is that if we're saying anything, but since it's about pleasing Krishna, could we do anything to please Krishna? So what things please Krishna? Those are the ones that are given as the pious activities. So the things recommended by our acharyas, that's the activities that please Krishna. So we're going to use activities that please Krishna, but the activity itself is not what pleases Krishna. It's the devotion in which it's done. So in other words, these are activities through which Krishna is pleased to receive this worship or this consideration. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, just like, let's say, okay, your standard thing is you want to give something nice to a girl, it's something refined, you know, something more delicate. Now, let's say she's a taxi driver, then giving her a titanium carburetor, that might be nice. You know what I'm saying? But it's about the devotion. Does that make sense? So that's the actual thing. It's the mood that counts. That's the actual thing. So if the mood's right, then something nice or simple is wonderful. If the mood's not right, then either of them are a problem.
I guess it's confidential because mood is the most subtle thing. You can't really understand unless you know the person. Because mood is changing also. We see in Chitra Ketu and Bharat Maharaj and Indra Juna, it was just a moment of failure, and then they were situated on a, you know, pretty good level, say Majama and Uttama.
Yeah. It's just to bring out that point, that it's that continuity of the attitude, that's what's important. But of that, that surrender to Krishna is the most important. So if they get distracted, it's still all right. Like a Krura is still in a good position, even though he got all entangled in this whole Shamantaka jewel thing. That by a bad association. So from that, he got entangled in all this stuff. But it doesn't mean that he's not surrendered to Krishna and doesn't take part in all that. Does that make sense? So we're trying to get to this attitude, because the attitude already includes doing good things. We're thinking, I do good things, that's what's going to please Krishna. No, it's doing good things to please Krishna that's going to please Krishna. So even if we're doing good things to please Krishna, that we're doing good things to please Krishna, that itself will be pleasing to Krishna. Because it's not the things, it's that you're trying to do it for Him. Though we may think the thing itself is the more important, or has more importance than it actually does. So, then we can say, oh, so then we can reduce the importance. No, it's we increase the bhakti. Right? In other words, the endeavor of the devotee is super excellent. But the bhakti is beyond super excellent. Does that make sense? So we're thinking, okay, I did really good there. I did, let's say, 80% of you know, materially perfect to please Krishna. And then you say, it's about the devotion, it's not about the thing. So then I think, oh, okay, so then I only do it 20% good instead of 80. Because then someone says, why are you doing such a bad job? Oh, it's just about the devotion. No, the devotees will do as good as they can, whatever that 80, 100%. But that devotion is beyond that. Does that make sense? So it's just where we're looking at it, the proportions. So it's that The endeavor is great, but the bhakti is the greatest. Because we think, if it's just about the mood, I don't have to make the endeavor. And if it's about the endeavor, I don't care about the mood. Yes?
So can we say that for Madhyama, the main training is how to develop that mood, because the technique is already gained?
Yes. The neophyte stage is where you gain technique. You come to the Madhyama stage when that technique becomes steady. Right? So that's nishta. We're steady at it. We're chanting our rounds. We're doing all the different things. You know, it's like that. You know how you say, gone are the constant days of forgot to set the alarm, didn't wake up when the alarm went off. You know, all these different things like that. Now it's a regular thing. We have it worked out. So you could say, yes, those things are there. Now it's about improving the quality. That's the meaning of boiling the milk. Right? So we figured out we got milk. And now we're boiling it down, right? Because you wouldn't want to use soya because that overdoes the estrogen and other things and it creates all kinds of problems. So better stick to milk. Huh? Yeah. So that's the whole thing is boiling down that milk. Is that that's what you're trying to do, is improve the quality. Because from nishta, then you're fixed. But it's a neutral state, technically. You know, it's has the spiritual, it has the material aspects to it, but it's balanced in which it's pro-spiritual, right? Then that continues, then you get a taste. Now it becomes very dynamically positive, and then that taste very quickly turns into attachment, turns into bhava, and then turns into prema. So the point comes in here is we can say, well, how do we affect that? It's association. That's the main thing. Association. The process works by association. So it's not that you're just chanting your japa, it's you're chanting your japa in association with devotees. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily sitting right with devotees when you're chanting, but you're associating with devotees, and in that association, understanding Krishna consciousness, being inspired, and then you're doing your duties, whether you have the option to be chanting with the devotees or you're on the bus, you know, downtown to work, you know, with a clicker, with all the karmis. You know, because devotees will sit there and go like this when they chant. So, put on earphones, you know, and just go into the pocket. There could be nothing there, but if you're sitting there nodding your head, everyone will think, wow, he's got some good, you know, he's got, you know, well, you know, what's his playlist, you know, so. No? Yeah, so you know, you'd be smart, right? You know, unless you want to put on the big hat and the pay us and then stand over in the corner and do that and then chant your japa. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you do it on Saturday. You do it on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I guess if you have to ride on the bus on Saturday, you do that, then they'll leave this guy alone. Is that, like you said, so the confidential aspect means it's revealed by Krishna. So by devotion, by association of devotees, then it becomes revealed. So then when we hear about it, we should try to understand it. Because we think it's what they're doing, that's what pleases Krishna. No, it's what it's they're doing that to please Krishna, that's what pleases Krishna. Because we're taking it, the religion itself is pleasing Krishna. But it's practicing religion to please Krishna that pleases Krishna. That's the whole point. Therefore, sudarech sacharachara. That comes because that just kind of blows away. It's like ninth canto. You know, everything's going along really nice. We finally got everything, and then all these crazy stories and what just happened, right? So, it's that thing. Yes, it says the devotee, he doesn't fall, he does this, that, all these things. But why doesn't he fall? Because he's so good at the religion? No, because he's so good at Krishna consciousness. So, because the Krishna consciousness, the main thing, if that's there and there's some fault, still it is progressive. It's not like material activity. If there's any fault, then it's nothing. You know, if you're doing something, you don't get it to 100%, you don't have it. But in devotional service, it continues where you left off. That's the difference. So we're not used to that. We're used to that materially, if it's perfect, then you get the result. If it's not materially perfect, it's not. So I do this materially perfect, that's my devotional service. So that the consideration overall is doing that for Krishna, then it's devotional service, Krishna's pleased, you advance. But with time we start thinking about how to please Krishna while doing it, rather than it itself is what's pleasing Krishna. So the two go together. So it's not that the activity gets dropped, like, you know, the Sahajiyas would have one believe. Right? No, the activity remains. That's why it said one's more expert at it. Right? That's the example given. No? One's more expert than the others, because one knows more. So, but you'll see is that it doesn't have that hardness, that dryness to it. And therefore, because it doesn't have the dryness, we don't think it's gyan, and we don't think it's, you know, tough activity, right? You know? How you say? In other words, if we're looking at it from the 40% rule, then it's, you know, we're going to think there's some lack. Does that make sense? Yeah? You don't know the 40% rule? 40% rule is when you come to the point where you say, that's it, I can't do this anymore, you're only at 40%. You could do 60% more. It's just the mind tricks you at 40%. Yeah. When you say, that's it, I'm finished, I'm done, like that, that's 40%. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So when you go on, then that situates you in the 60%, which is in nishta. No, it situates you in nishta. Like that. Let us say that there's a good chance that the members of Moshad work on that 40% rule, and you're happy they do.
That yeah. So yes. In this case, you're saying that you're more involved in Krishna consciousness rather than the activities like Arjuna fighting on the battlefield, he's very Krishna related.
He is, but it's not that he's not seeing that he's doing the job nicely. In that example, Prabhupada then, because some will say, oh, then, you know, he's just thinking of Krishna and all that. No, he's thinking how to fight nicely, but how to fight nicely for Krishna, because that's what he wants. So he's focusing on the fighting. So it's not that we don't focus on the secondary activities, but we're only focusing on them because they please Krishna. You understand? So that's why we won't, it means pure devotional service wouldn't take the platform, well, I have this mundane identity, so, you know, I'm just going to use that for Krishna. And even though there's something recommended more, I wouldn't use it because it doesn't match my conditioning in my perspective. Right? In other words, I'm not going to look at my conditioning from Shastra, how Krishna says my conditioning is, and therefore what it should do. I'm going to look at it from my conditioning, from my conditioned perspective, and therefore say, I'm going to do that for Krishna. And then, worst of all, is I don't even do a good job at it. You know? But, hey, I'm pleased, so, you know, the Icha Shakti is taken care of there, so, hey, what's the problem? You understand? So, that's the whole thing, is that it's a subtle thing in there. So, because we take it, if it's just about mood, we'll say, oh, we don't care about the activity. We says, no, you have to do the activity. Oh, it's all about the activity. You know, and then, you know, just like bull in China shop, we got the work done. Right? No, but the mood is what's important. Oh, cause mood's important, so we don't have to focus on the activity. No, the activity, you have to do the focus. Oh, so it's just, we'll just do that all day. Right? That's the problem. So depending on the situation, we're focusing on one or the other. So now we're taking it down on 10th canto. We're already convinced of performing our particular duties according to our particular physical, psychological nature as that we have acquired due to our previous karma. And according to Shastra and recommendation of the Acharyas, we're going to be performing those activities. We've accepted that. And we've accepted that we're going to do that for the Lord. But here it's being pointed out that two things coming along is that it's about the doing it for the Lord that's important, not the condition, engagement of the condition. That's the support. That's what we're using to express the devotion or the attitude. And if there's some problems in that occasionally, that doesn't mean that we're finished. Right? Because if we were, then probably the biggest country on the planet would be Finland. Right? Because everyone would be Finnish. You understand? So that would be there, but it's actually quite a small country, so. Yeah, completely in love and sometimes fall down. So we'll take, oh, but if they're completely, then how could they fall? We always have these things. Why? Because we're looking at the secondary. We're thinking the fall down is the main part rather than the completely absorbed in Krishna. Because here, just like this. Okay. Let us say, okay, we give this example all the time, and it's a good one, we'll give it again. Okay? So, okay, now does the... We're just taking... This is very generic and very standard, okay? Like this. Like that. We're not getting all psychological here, okay? Okay, so, husband has affection for the wife, right? So we'd say he's always has... Anytime you ask him, yes, he has that affection. Okay, he's having a conversation with the wife, right? It's a delicate conversation, right? Now, all it takes is one nanosecond of something not being exactly perfect. And then what happens? Yeah, and so then there is suitable punishment. Right? So, if in that nanosecond there can be a problem, then why can't in continuously Krishna conscious there be a problem? Right? We expect perfection from everything. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole problem is that Krishna is not like that, because it's not about him, it's about the interaction. The problem with us is about ourselves. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. You know, it's like you're dealing with a knife, but if one moment you're not conscious, you get cut. So that's what Prabhupada talks about. Things are going along, here's a recommendation. If at any moment you don't follow that, thinking everything's going nice, you'll still get cut. Does that make sense? So that's the point. That's why he puts this in favorable conditions of bhakti. Because they always have that point of surrendering to Krishna, always taking shelter. Not, oh, I'm so useless, I'm so disgusting, so, you know, I don't chant my rounds, I just sit here and lament for days because I'm so terrible at being a devotee. Well, how is that service to Krishna? We surrender to Krishna, we take shelter, we make mistakes. That's why we're here in the material world. If we were perfect, we wouldn't be here. We would already be in the spiritual world, right? Speak more loudly.
Nimrod say that the Lord protects them, and I understand that thus the devotee continues to progress in devotional service, but what does it mean that he fearlessly traverses the heavens?
What are his opponents? What are the opponents of the devotee?
Lust,
anger, greed,
and some other people.
Attachment. what do you call it? Illusion, madness, envy. Yeah, means those are the enemies, and then anybody who personifies that. Right? Yeah, like that. So he fearlessly traverses the heads of their opponents. Because the point is that he surrendered to Krishna, and so therefore he's without fear. How it works out and anything like this, then that's another thing. That we're expecting, oh, that means everything will go perfect. No, it doesn't necessarily mean materially it'll go perfect, because it's not about the material perfection. It's about always being absorbed in Krishna. One will overcome all obstacles. Because obstacles are just connected with material nature. Material nature is temporary. How long can an obstacle last? You know? At some point,
depends on perception.
At some point they disappear. Next life. You know, you know what I'm saying? At some point. Because if everybody follows the devotional process, then the holy name being so powerful, at some point one hopes that it will have an effect. That's also why you see is the example he's giving of Haridas Thakur. Is that he's praying for the spiritual benefit of those who are his opponents. Because by getting the, how you say, the well wishes of a devotee, then they progress more quickly. So if you actually want to get rid of the problem, then pray that they'll become nice devotees. Sincerely. And then the problem will go away quicker. Because the point is only due to lack of Krishna consciousness all these problems come up. So if we're Krishna conscious, then these problems don't come up. Or at least they come up less.
Different ones come up.
Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. Devotees generally do not fall down, but if circumstantially they do, the Lord, because of their strong attachment to Him, gives them protection in all circumstances. Right? Circumstantially means that particular situation. Then they fell down there. But it's not that they've arranged that now that's their new lifestyle and everything like that. Then you can say that's in a fallen condition. But circumstantially something came up, they fell down. And so then they continue that surrender, they continue on. Does this make sense? Yes.
We can say that fall down means they forget about Krishna in the moment. They are thinking of some certification, and then protection means we can remember Krishna and Krishna.
Yes. Yes. Okay, good. Srila Prabhupada comments. Devotees generally do not fall down, but if circumstantially they do, the Lord, because of their strong attachment to Him, gives them protection in all circumstances. Thus, even if devotees fall down, they are still strong enough to traverse the heads of their enemies. We have actually seen that our Krishna conscious movement has many opponents, such as the deprogrammers, who instituted a strong legal case against the devotees. We thought that this case would take a long time to settle, but because the devotees were protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we unexpectedly won the case in one day. Thus, a case that was expected to continue for years was settled in a day because of the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah pranashati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Right, so we just keep that position of that devotion and all that. Then everything works very nicely. In history, there are many instances of devotees like Chitraketu, Indradumna, and Maharaj Bharata, who circumstantially fell down but were still protected. Maharaj Bharata, for example, because of his attachment to a deer, thought of the deer at the time of death. And therefore, in his next life, he became a deer. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, kyajan kyante kalevaram. Bhagavad Gita 8:6. Because of protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the deer remembered his relationship with the Lord, and next took birth in a good brahminical family and performed devotional service. Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. Bhagavad Gita 6:41. Similarly, Chitraketu fell down and became a demon, Vritrasura, but he too was protected. Thus, even if one falls down from the path of bhakti yoga, one is ultimately saved. The devotee is strongly situated in devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has promised to protect him. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah pranashati. Bhagavad Gita 9:31. But even if a devotee circumstantially falls down, he is protected by Madhava. Right? So, the particular situation they're in, they get distracted, they fall down. Then Krishna protects them. They continue that surrender to Krishna. That's what we mean by that continuous. Even in a difficult time, they continue. Because then obstacles are there, they continue. But we won't say it's continuous if obstacles come up and they stop. So it's continuous because they're still doing. Not, oh, it's continuous, so how could they make a mistake? That's not the business. The business is the mentality. So we see that there, then that's what we can see is they did continue. That's the glory. Is that, yeah?
Sometimes it seems that it's more beneficial, so to say, for devotees to live in their mentality is offensive or they do a lot of nonsense.
But that's only because they're not doing devotional service. They're not nicely situated at that time. Therefore, that's just the arrangement of material energy. It means if you're not interested in devotional service, why would you want to be around people who are?
I have it.
And that's there, but it's just like the room's full of people eating and laughing and joking. You're not hungry and you're annoyed and everything. You just sit down there in the middle. No, you go out.
So my point was that sometimes it's better for them to leave than to stay and commit more offenses.
That's there, but that's arranged by Maya. But that's not, you can't say that that's a process. You wouldn't say, as well, I'm committing so much offenses, so I'm going to go out now and just do all nonsense and all that, and when I get sick of it, then I'll come back. You can't say you don't know how things will go. You know that it's not how Krishna, you know, may arrange it. So we just take it that if someone does go, okay, then we wish them well, and if there's any way you can help or inspire them to be in Krishna consciousness, we do. But if not, then with time, then, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30, depends how stubborn they are, how much of, you know, social issues of value to them on the mundane platform they feel are being broken. And so, therefore, then they'll that much longer or shorter to figure out that was stupid. Right? Yeah. But when they come back, now it's like they were in the material world, they came to Krishna consciousness, they forgot how bad the material world was. Now they went back out there, and now they have knowledge, so now they can see it more clearly. So then when they come back the second time, you generally see them, they'll be quite nicely fixed. The word Madhava is significant. Ma, Mother Lakshmi, the mother of all opulences, is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if a devotee is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the opulences of the Lord are ready to help him. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Parto Dhanor Dharaha, Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama, Bhagavad Gita 18:78. Wherever there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and his devotee Arjuna, Partha, there is victory, opulence, extraordinary power, and morality. Right, so it says here the morality is there. So they're doing, but it's not about that. It's about wherever there's the Supreme Lord and his devotee. That's there. Then, as the secondary, then there's victory, opulence, extraordinary power, and morality. Those are all supporting their relationship. So when one's always absorbed in Krishna, that's the primary. And then these things are victory, opulence, or extraordinary power, and morality. These are symptoms. Right? Just like it says, for the person on the platform of bhava, one of the symptoms is no interest in material sense gratification. That doesn't mean that they're sitting there and, no sense gratification. That's not the religion they're following. They're following the religion of bhakti. So because they're absorbed in Krishna, they don't see opportunities for sense gratification. They only see opportunities to serve Krishna. So that's different. Right? So someone below that, they'll be practicing the religion of sense control. Right, but they're doing that to please Krishna, and that way they progress. But it's not that's the religion. The religion is bhakti. Does that make sense? Yeah?
It's Krishna, you're saying, to take association of devotees.
Yes, you should always be in the association of devotees. Because that's the point. Because it says, and these opulences, those are coming from Lakshmi, who's the devotee. So that's the whole point, is everything's a devotee. Because the point is that Icha, Jnana, and Kriya, they're all devotees. They're all aspects of, they're all Krishna's energy, so the devotional aspect is always there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In cases where devotees they want to associate with non-devotees.
The devotees want to associate with non-devotees.
For the purpose of social status.
For the purpose of social status. Do they want to, or do they want the social status, and the way to get it is to be seen over there with a crocodile grin, shaking that particular guy's hand while you're handing him your car? So do they want to be with the non-devotees?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. You're sure?
I have a case in the way.
You have a case. I see.
So, they want to be with the non-devotees for the purpose of social status.
Can we speak more loudly, please?
They want to continue also the Krishna consciousness at the same time.
They want to continue with Krishna consciousness and hang out with the karmis, so they can get. So they want the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Is there a best of both worlds? No, because if we say the best of the spiritual world, that means then there's a worst also, so we only want the best. But the spiritual world only has best. And then the material world, what's best about the material world is connection with Krishna. So that means the material world, there's nothing good. So when we say best of both worlds, that's an illusion. See, why associate with those karmis so that you get the social prestige? What's he going to do with the social prestige?
He wants to impress the devotees.
He wants to impress the devotees. And devotees are really impressed by what karmis you hang out with. Right? Is this in India or is this in the West?
India.
So the person they're going to be hanging out with is with like Shah Rukh Khan. Or Modi. And saying, so who are they going to hang out with that the devotees would even know that they would be impressed? You know, Mr. Junjunwala, who even knows him? You know what I'm saying? So if it's only to impress the devotees, then what's the big deal? If they want to be impressed by who hangs out with who, why don't they just go hang out with Shah Rukh himself? Why do they have to hang out with this guy who says he hangs out with? Yeah, for us. Yeah, does that make sense? So, therefore, what's the point? How is that devotional? If it's that he has to hang out with these karmis, so he has the social status, so his business goes well, so he has the money in that for, you know, take care of his family and to take care of the Krishna conscious projects that he's supporting, now that may have some value to it. But that's where we're saying that devotee doesn't want to hang out with the karmis, but that's the way it is. Just like you don't actually want to get on the bullet train and ride on it for 2 hours, you know, down to Osaka, but that's reality because, you know, you live up in wherever it is up in the north. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that you want to, but you do it. So it's not that he wants to associate with karmis, but if that's what you need to do. Right? Like once I told, I related to a professional something that another person in the, you know, the economic field had mentioned to me, is that they keep fancy cars because you go to a meeting, right? And at this meeting or these things, you have to drive up in a fancy car because they don't have the meeting down at, you know, the Cat and Crocodile or something, right? You know, they have it down at the Four Seasons or the this or that, right? Okay. So, then you drive up in this nice car. Then they think he's got a nice car. That means he must have money. That means he must be good at what he does. Other people like him. Otherwise, why does he have a job? Right? So, then they'll look at you more seriously. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just the way it is. It's not that you... It's actually a necessity. It's actually would be easier to get to the Four Seasons riding in a smart two-seater smart than it would be to roll up in, you know, something else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, I mentioned this to another professional, and he just kind of, I never do that. You know, we're not into those things. You know, they like what we do, we don't like what we do, this, that. You know, but I explained that the people are on this mundane process. So, okay. Then, I think it was... the next year, or there was some time later, then I met them and they said, you know, one time we thought, for the laugh, let's try it. You know, they've flown up north to go to some program, and so they would have to hire a car from the airport, so they hired a fancy car. They drove up in the fancy car. Then he said he'd never seen people deal with them in that way. He always has to go in there and explain and sell himself. This way it was just easy. He just came in, okay, what's happening? What do you want to do? And then he says, you know, he was shocked at how mundane people are, you know, how external they are. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's not that there's an interest in it. It's just that's what you need to do. So if there's actually an interest in it, then that's an anartha. That'll create a problem. Because now what happens? Now he's associated with these karmis. They're impressed. He goes to the devotees to show how fabulous it is. He associates with all these, you know, karmis, and they're not impressed. Now, for a materialistic person, who's he going to associate with? Those who are impressed by him, or those who are not? Therefore, he'll hang out with the karmis. Oh, they appreciate. They know what I'm doing. They understand how hard I'm working. The devotees, they don't care. Like that, you know, it's just like how you say. And they're thinking they're being special by doing that, but that's, as Prabhupada said, another face in the crowd. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody's doing. Right there. Does that make sense? Yeah. Thus, a devotee cannot be defeated by any opponents. A devotee, therefore, should not deviate knowingly from the path of devotion. The adherent devotee is assured all the protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, he doesn't know. He goes into the thing in Maya tricks. Then he understands, and then he straightens that out. Does that make sense? So, it's not that he plans, okay, this is cool. Does that make sense? That's what we mean by circumstantially. The circumstances are there, and Maya tricked them. You thought, oh, it was this, it was that, but it wasn't. Somebody said that. The demigods continued. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies, beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Right? So this Vedic principles you're talking about, that's what we mean when we use the word religion. We mean all these Vedic principles, the recommended principles. Okay. Footnote 25. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 34 to Bhagavad Arkamrityumala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Natures of the Energies of the Lord, Bhagavad Shakti Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the book, right? So these are the different energies of the Lord, how they're engaged in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? So these different energies, they then are potencies of the Lord. By using them, then one can progress. But it's only because they're potencies of the Lord, that's why you progress. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, in verse 29, there was mention of the Lord's pure forms appearing in the world of moving and non-moving entities. That verse says that the purpose of the Lord's appearance is to help the devotees. In verse 30 through 33, the purity of bhakti has been mentioned. In verse 32, there is a hint that by attachment to the Lord's feet, the devotee also attains liberation as a secondary result. The present verse is spoken to show that the real purpose of the Lord's appearance in the world is to establish bhakti. So, he's helping the devotees, then the pure situation of bhakti, how the devotee becomes freed from all material entanglement, right? Because that's liberation. But the whole point is bhakti. That's the whole thing. It's this point of thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by Vedic principles. So it's about worshipping Krishna. The Vedic principles are the best means of worship. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, okay, just like, let's say I have I'm cooking for the Lord. I have some, boiling down some milk, I have some very high class, good quality saffron. Right? But it'll be some work, right? I have to soak it, I have to grind it a little bit, I have to boil it in from the beginning, I have to remember to do all that. That kind of jazz, okay? Now, I also have some, you know, really ordinary, synthetic, yellow food coloring that I could just drop in two drops and voila, I have yellow kheer. You understand? Does that make sense? So, that's the whole thing. Which one do you use?
That's cool.
We're cooking for, let's say, the Rajbhog offering for Krishna. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, for Krishna. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's then how we decide what to use. So it's always we're using the best for Krishna, right? So yes, if you're doing it for a bunch of guys that wouldn't know what it is, and they want whatever you're selling for half the price anyway, so then you use the, you know, yellow food color. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.3, yajna dana tapa karma na tyajam. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, charity, austerity, and all such prescribed duties are never to be given up. Right? So, because we say bhakti is the main, that doesn't mean they're given up. So Krishna makes that clear. They're always to be practiced. But the point is you should practice it with devotion. It's to please Krishna, not to gain the benefits that you would gain from those activities. Yajyo danam tapaschaiva havanani manishinam. 18.5. Even one who is very advanced in spiritual realization must execute the Vedic principles. Right, so it's not that, oh, but when you're more advanced, Raghunuga, then no. It's just, they're always executed. This is just the lifestyle that's used to express bhakti. It's the natural lifestyle of bhakti. So that's why it's there. Even in the lowest stage, the karmis are advised to work for the sake of the Lord. Yagyart tat karma non yatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. The words yagyart tat karma na indicate that while performing all kinds of duties, one should remember that these duties should be performed to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Swakarma na tam abhyarchya. Bhagavad Gita 18.46. According to Vedic principles, there must be divisions of human society. Chaturvarnyam mayashrishtam. Bhagavad Gita 4.13. There should be Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And everyone should learn to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tam abhyarchya. This is the real human society. And without this system, we are left with animal society. Right? Because animal society means it's what I feel like. What I'd like to do. Not within what is the options that are recommended, which one I'd like to do. No, it's which I'd like to do. It has nothing to do with authority. That's animal society. Right? So that's why Prabhupada always says animal society, because it's about anamoy. It's about what I feel like doing. Right? Means if you move up to the next level, okay, what socially you should be doing. But how many people work on that, karmis work on that level? So that's just refined animal. Yeah, definitely better animal. But it's only human starts when you follow Varnashram. When you follow the duties that are given by God. That's the position. And if one says, well, what if I do devotional service but I don't follow? Then that's a kinara. It's an animal performing devotional service. But no? You couldn't hear. I said like kinaras. Yeah, they're animals that are devotees. And they even say we're a bit rough around the edges because we're forest, we're jungle people. So sometimes we do things a bit wild, but hey, you know. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.